all things are good alone, but that God works them together for good. As individual ingredients in a recipe may not taste nice alone, but when they're blended together, they produce something delicious. So with the trials of our life and the times of our life, individually they may be very awful and not taste very good, but God's blending them together, and he's got a delicious recipe that he's working on. He's bringing them together for good. Think about that tonight. What an amazing, awesome God who can bring about good from the trials and difficulties in our life, some of which are meant by the enemy to destroy us. Because Jesus told Peter in the book of Luke, chapter 22, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired thee that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." What is Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, Satan wants to destroy you, Peter, but I prayed for you, and I've got a destination in mind for you, that you're going to learn some things through what you're going through. And that's our God. He's a great God, an awesome God who can take things that are meant to destroy us and work them together for good. We don't understand how he can do it, but he's God. And he isn't bound by our means. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." It's a fact. All things work together for good. It's a fact repeated in those verses of Scripture that I just read to you today. God can make all things in our life work together for good. That doesn't mean you go out and do something stupid and foolish and expect God to make it good. We'll get to that a little bit more maybe. But there's some qualifiers too, because our verse goes on to say, "To them that love God." To them that love God. It quickly reduces the audience, doesn't it, to those who are the recipients of that promise, to true believers in Jesus Christ. All things work together for good, not to everybody, but to them that love God. I don't think we spend as much time thinking about or talking about loving God as we ought to, but let us remember that Jesus called it the first and great commandment. Mark 12:29-30 says, "And Jesus answered him, The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." We are commanded to love God. That tells us and reminds us that love is a decision. It's an act of the will. We choose to love. And it's not just a simple, not just a discarded love, is it? He says, "Love the Lord with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." There's a lot in that, isn't it? That's with your all. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." What does it mean to love God? Well, Jesus answered and said unto him, John 14:23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Remember when you were a young person, when you were a child, and your parents told you, "Now do this." I remember being told to do some things, and you'd grudgingly do it. But there were other times where you knew that was expected of you to do, and you thought, "I'm just going to do this without being told." And boy, it was a whole different attitude, wasn't it? Doing it when you chose to do it just because you wanted to please your parents. The job went a lot easier, whether it was washing the dishes or cleaning up, whatever it was. When you chose to do it out of love, instead of just being told, just saying, "Okay, I guess I'll do it." But God wants us to love him, and when we love him, his commandments are not grievous. They're not, "Oh no, do I have to go to church tonight? Do I have to go listen to Chris Wyatt preach tonight?" It's, "Oh, praise the Lord, I get to go and worship him tonight and get to go hear a message that he's given to the servant of God to bring to us tonight. His commandments are not grievous." And I think this is a key component in Romans 8:28 that we might easily overlook, Because if loving God is demonstrated by obedience, then if we love God, we will continue to obey and do right, even when times are tough. And that makes a big difference to God working them together for good in our life. And then secondly, he says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Again, narrows the recipients to make sure we know this is referring to Christians. It reminds us also that God has a purpose in this world, and that you and I as Christians are part of that purpose. He has a purpose for our life, every one of our lives, and we have time to do everything that he wants us to do in our life. And therefore, when the tough times come and when the difficulties come, you may say, but this stopped me from doing this. This stopped me. My stroke stopped me from continuing to pastor Beacon Baptist Church, but didn't stop me from serving God, because he has a purpose for me that I can still fulfill his purpose. It might not be what I thought it was going to be, but it's what he wants me to do. I'm called according to his purpose to do what he wants me to do. So the fact is that all things work together for good, but we also see the faith. The faith, it says, and we know that all things work together for good. Now, how do we know that all things work together for good? Because God told us so. But that takes faith to apply and to accept. It takes faith. Whether we can see it or not, we must choose to trust God, who has said all things work together for good. Whatever you're going through, you can say, I'm going to choose to trust him because he told me all things were going to work together for good. Therefore, it's a matter of faith. The just shall live by faith is a phrase repeated throughout Scripture in both the Old and New Testaments. The just, or the justified, the child of God, is to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I tell you what I prefer to walk by. I prefer to walk by sight. I prefer to know what's happening next. It's like driving on a foggy day. When you remember, I can't drive. I haven't driven for over 7 years. Remember driving on foggy days or snowy days when you couldn't see very far. But as long as you can see to the end of the car, the end of the hood and a little bit beyond, you can see far enough to know what you need to do. But that's not how far you want to see. You want to see a few miles down the road to see what's coming up. As long as you can see enough to keep going safely, you can keep on going. We want to live by sight. We want to be able to see how far down the road and when the next corner is and which direction it's going to go in. But God says, no, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And Hebrews 11:6 goes on to say, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, the faith, the fact is all things work together for good. The faith comes in when we take that and believe it and live by it. And that's what pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We say, I'd rather see, but then you can't please God by just doing what you can see. You please God by doing what is right, whether you can see the end or not. But let me say this tonight, he's worthy of our trust. Say, how do you know he's worthy of our trust? Well, he has a proven track record of trustworthiness. Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph said this to his brothers who had betrayed him, sold him, told his dad that he was dead, did all kinds of awful things to try and get rid of him. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. How could God take brothers hating their brother so much that they would literally be willing to kill him and ultimately sell him as a slave just to get rid of him? But God turned it and made it something remarkably great that preserved Israel in a period of time when there was famine in the land of Canaan, because God had prepared the way by sending Joseph through that awful means. See, God is worthy of our trust. He has a proven track record of trustworthiness. Joshua said near the end of his life, and I meant to look up how old he was when he passed away, but I think he was 100 or more. But it said, Joshua 23:14, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. He'd seen 40 years of going through the wilderness, and he said to them at the end of his life, he said, nothing has failed, and you know it. God's worthy of our trust. Amen. 1 Kings 8:56 says, this is Solomon at the dedication of the temple. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised, There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. See the track record of God: Genesis, Joshua, Kings. Everything he said he would do, he's done it. So how do I know that all things work together for good? Because it takes faith, but it takes faith in a God who's proven that he's worthy of our trust. Romans 15:4 reminds us, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We can have hope, we can have trust in Romans 8:28 because we can look back to what God's done in the past for his people through the word of God. James 5:11, a verse I was in a message I preached a few weeks ago on Thanksgiving, actually, being thankful for the pattern of God, even in difficult times. But James 5:11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." We can look back at the life of Job and say, what a terrible thing happened to Job. He lost everything, and the devil wanted to do it to destroy him, to make him curse God. But the Bible tells us there in James 5:11, you can see that the end of the Lord, he's very pitiful and of tender mercy. Why? Because at the end of it all, God said to Job, "Job, I'm going to give you twice what you had before." And in the midst of it, he said to Job, "Look who I am, Job. Remember who I am. I was there at the beginning, and I did all the amazing things." And so he's worthy of our trust because we can see his proven track record and because he cannot lie. That's why he has a proven track record, because he cannot lie. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie." By the way, ladies, that's not saying that it's only men that lie and ladies don't. It's talking about mankind. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Titus 1:2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Yes, by faith we can know that all things are working together for good. It takes faith. It's a fact that takes faith, but God's worthy of our faith. By the way, faith doesn't make things easy, it makes them possible. Not always easy to trust God by faith. We know we can do it because he's shown us that he's proven that he's trustworthy, but it doesn't mean it's easy. Somebody gave me a plaque without it not too long after my stroke, and it's just been there with me. It's on my shelf, still in my office. Faith doesn't make things easy, it makes them possible. How can I take another step going through this difficulty? By faith, that God says I'm working it together for good. It makes it possible. Point number three, I'd like us to think about the finish. The finish. And we know that all things work together for good. That's the fact. We know it because by faith, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Look at verse 29. "For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The finish. What's the end? What is the recipe that God is working? Ultimately, the good, the ultimate good is we'll be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the ultimate good. And Christ suffered, didn't he? He suffered for us. So we suffer to be conformed to, as a part of the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. The finish. Yes, my friends, there's coming a day when our trials will all be over. And we'll see some of the answers to the whys that we have now. I don't know that we'll know everything, but we'll see some of the answers to some of the whys that we're asking now. We'll look back. Maybe I'll look back to this past 7 years, and maybe in heaven there'll be somebody that's there that met me as a result of my stroke and came to know Christ. And that will be worth 7 years or 20 years of suffering here, if somebody can be in eternity for heaven because they came into contact with me and I was able to lead them to Christ. It will be worth it. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it would be worth it. That's the finish. The finish line is going to tell us a lot. Again, not necessarily everything, but the finish will be remarkable. We'll be conformed to the image of his Son. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That's why we love him. That's why we are the called according to his purpose. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll be ultimately conformed to the image of Christ when we see him, when we stand before him. Though there may be some temporal good along the way, this is the ultimate good that God is working in our lives. Undoubtedly, Romans 8:28 is the Christian's consolation during times of infirmity and times of trial. See, Romans 8, the verses that we read, it wasn't just verse, we say, well, all things work together for good. That means good things as well. Yes, very much so. But we read in verse 18, he talked about the sufferings of this present time. And verse 27 talked about our infirmities. So we know that the context is dealing with our struggles, with our difficult times, our waiting until we're ultimately glorified and being with the Lord. These are the difficult times. But also, as we think about the fact that it's a great consolation, may we be reminded that it's a challenge as well to love the God who is working all things together for our good. To love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind, and express it in love, in our love and obedience and submission to his word. That's a challenge part of it, isn't it, tonight? It's a challenge. May our faith also be strengthened as we recognize his trustworthiness and pattern that's demonstrated by his dealings in the lives of those others recorded in his word. See, it's the Christian's consolation. Romans 8:28. It's a fact. It takes faith. One day we'll see the finish, and we'll see some of those things that God was working together, stirring into that recipe that is our life. But again, let me remind you tonight that this is a promise for those who know Christ, those who are born again. All things work together good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you're not saved here tonight, you can't claim Romans 8:28 yet. But you can be saved and claim Romans 10:17, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13 rather. You can claim that first, and then you can claim Romans 8:28. But if you're not saved, would you be saved even today? Talk to us before you leave and come to know Christ. If you're watching online, get in touch with us here at the church. Christian, how is your love for God? And how is your faith? May God help us as we consider the Christian's consolation to realize our responsibilities as well and follow him and his bidding in our lives. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. We can be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I trust you've spoken to our hearts, and you've spoken to mine. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to obey your word and live by your word, Lord, by faith. It's not easy, but it is helpful and makes our life possible. And so we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of this verse in my own life and how it's helped me through some difficult circumstances even this year. And I rejoice and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just wanted to say tonight as well that this verse, one of the reasons it's been on my